All right. Well, today we are in the second week of our series. Like you see on the screen, you asked for it. And this is a fun series and a scary series. You never know what we're going to get into, because what we've been doing over the last few weeks is we've been collecting your questions. We basically said, hey, what questions do you have about God or faith, about life? Could be about relationships or finances or raising kids or stress or struggles, whatever. We said, ask anything, and we will do our best to answer the top ones. And it's really cool. Thank you for those of you who submitted questions. Super, super helpful, because it also helps me to know, even for future stuff, hey, this is something that I think we can lean into. So thank you for submitting questions. If you want to still do that, you can write down a question on your Connect card. We even got some silly questions like, when will Butch Jones be fired? I'm a Tennessee Vols fan, and I'm like, I don't know. If I was the athlete, it would be sooner rather than later. But anyway, so we got some funny ones too. But anyway, what we're doing is we're looking in the Bible, and with these big questions. We may not know everything there is to know in every single situation, but we're doing our best to dig into the Bible and to say, what does God's Word say, and how can we give some real help for some of your biggest questions? Last week we answered, we talked about this important question of how do we know God's will for sure? How do we know God's will for sure? Like, you know, am I supposed to do this or this? And if you missed last week, I want to encourage you to go online, listen to it online. There's all of our messages are archived on our website. You can do that. But hopefully, I think it was a really helpful one last week as we talked about that. Next week, a little preview for next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about how do we deal with difficult people. It's funny, we got this question multiple times. I think y'all know some difficult people, right? Or how do you deal with difficult relationship stuff that's going on? I think it's really fitting that it's around the Thanksgiving time, right? When we start rubbing elbows with our folks, our in-laws and our outlaws, right? And our families and stuff like that. So I don't know if that was just y'all wanted to hear about it around Thanksgiving, but there it is. So I want to encourage you to come next week. We're going to be talking mostly about how do we balance Jesus talking about loving people with how do we not get burned and hurt? Like, how do we love people and yet are we supposed to have some kind of boundaries so we don't get harmed sometimes? So come next week. That's what we're digging into. This week, here's what we're doing. This week, we're talking about maybe one of the most popular, one of the most commonly asked questions of God of all time. And it's this question. Why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? Sometimes people say, why do bad things happen to good people? I like this question because I think it's more accurate. Sometimes we assume we're good and that person's bad. And so if you do good things, then good things should happen, and bad things, then bad things should happen. And so the reality is all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so bad things just happen to people. And so this is what we're talking about today. Why do bad things happen? And I think it's interesting. We had this question asked in a variety of ways. For instance, like, why do we live in a world where we encounter pain and struggles and suffering and stuff like that, tragedies that happen in the world and in our lives? And the question is sometimes framed like this. It's almost contradictory things. Check it out. Here's how it's oftentimes framed. If God is so good, like the Bible says, and if God is all-knowing, he knows everything, and if God is sovereign and in control, then why do bad things happen? None of those things seem to go together when you think about God's character and then you see what's happening in the world. Does it mean that God just didn't intervene because he doesn't care? Does it mean that God's just not working? So we're going to talk about that today. The second part of it is even more applicable, not just the why question, but what do we do about it? Because the reality is, are we supposed to live our lives where we're just worried and stressed out all the time? That the next bad thing might happen more close to home, might happen to us or somebody around us. How do we live without being so stressed out and worried about all the what-ifs that could happen? You know, if you've ever seen the movie The Little Giants, how many of you have seen that movie? It's an older movie. about a ragtag little league football team. The Little Giants, they're getting ready to go against the Mighty Cowboys. That's just another little league team. But I love this movie. Icebox is the girl, and she's the tough one. So pretty awesome. But anyway, Icebox and the Little Giants, they have this football team, and they're trying to recruit all these kids to play football. And there's this one kid who had a very, very, let's just say, overprotective mom. And she wanted her kid to be able to like do what he wanted to do and play like the rest of the kids, but she didn't want him to get hurt. And so her solution was, go on out there, son, and go play football. But she wrapped him up in this ridiculous costume. Here's what she did. He walked out to football looking like this, right? Duct tape, bubble wrap, foam suit on. And it's like, go play football, son. And of course, everybody cracked up. Everybody who was on his team was like, are you kidding me? Like, this kid, he's coming out here. How are you going to play in that thing? And the thing is, I mean, he's really protected, but yet there's no way you can play the game like that. And I think the question for us is like, is that the way we're supposed to live our lives like that? Are we supposed to live our lives where we're just wrapped up in bubble wrap, you know? Where we're in the world, but we're so, we protect ourselves, so we're always on guard and we're nervous and we're worried that the next bad thing might happen. This past Sunday, you probably saw on the news, this past Sunday in Sutherland Springs, Texas, we were reminded once again of this reality that bad things happen in the world. When a guy who we don't know what was going on with him, but he walked into the doors of a church during worship, carrying a gun, and he opened fire on innocent people, taking many of their lives. And it's one of those things, we look at those situations, and it's like, why would that happen? Who would do something like that? And what do we do with all of that? I mean, I've been reading a lot of news reports about it, and I've heard many people were saying that they believe that he knew many of the people that were in the church. I can't even fathom that level of evil or just being so off that somebody would do something like that. But we live in a world where stuff like that happens, and it's not a new thing. By the way, for about half this week, we've been going through our own policies at the church and our own plans, and here's what we do in certain situations, not just that, but everything. So it's been good, but it's crazy. We got to talk about that, isn't it? And it's not just about churches. It's the same. Unfortunately, it's nothing new. It's the same thing that's happening in the news all over the world, just a different place, different time. And we see stuff like that, and we ask the question, why? Or at the same time, sometimes it's not just violence that's the bad thing. This past fall, we encountered this in a very real way as we encountered some very real natural disasters that affected, of course, Texas, and then I believe the very next week, Florida. And many people's lives were kind of turned upside down, at least for a season. And thankfully, we as a church, we got to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be his presence with people. Thankfully, we were able to wrap, I think it was like 200 and something hurricane relief kits that went to Texas during that time. Pretty awesome. But the thing is, it's like sometimes stuff like that happens. And at the same time, even more difficult sometimes, is when those bad things become even more personal to us. And sometimes it's things like, you know, where so you or someone in your family, all of a sudden you lose your job or they lose their job. Or, you know, somebody around you gets sick and you just see them suffering and you're like, why is this happening? Or maybe you prayed and prayed and prayed for somebody to be healed and then you didn't get the answer you wanted. They end up passing away. Or maybe there's a relationship in your life, a family member or a friend, where something happens and they walk away from that relationship. And in those times, I think we oftentimes feel like shouting to God these very raw words, like you see in Psalm 13 that David writes in the very first few verses. Maybe you can relate to this, Psalm 13. Here's what it says. David writes this in Psalm 13, starting with verse 1. He says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God." I don't know about you, but these are very raw words, but I think many of us can relate to those words. Maybe you've been in a situation before where you're like, come on, God, where are you now? And when we encounter bad things that happen in the world or in our lives, I believe that most of us want to give God the benefit of the doubt. And we don't want to sound irreverent, but sometimes these kind of words are what's on our mind. God, how long? Where are you? What are you doing? And I find it really interesting and comforting that David is a man in the scriptures who is known as a man after God's own heart. God says, this is the kind of man that I want all men to be like, a man after my own heart, all women to be like. And yet he still prays these really raw words, questions to God. And I find it comforting because it just shows that God isn't afraid of our biggest questions, that he's bigger than our biggest hurts and our biggest disappointments. He's Lord of all. But here's the thing. I want to give you some real help today in just a few things. There's some theology and then there's some really practical stuff. But when we encounter bad things in the world and around us, I think there's two false assumptions we tend to make. Here's false assumption number one. False assumption number one is that God must have caused it. We encounter something bad, God must have caused this. In fact, sometimes we assume that God is the sole cause or the only cause of everything that's happening, right? And so we tend to think, well, since God is sovereign and in control, and that means that God must have caused what I just experienced. And so maybe that means that what the Bible says, maybe it means that God isn't good after all. Maybe it means that I can't really trust him, or we need to play our cards a little closer to the vest. In fact, in the movie Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey has this great scene. Jim Carrey is hilarious, but he plays Bruce, and Bruce is frustrated with the bad things that have happened to him, and he's like complaining to his wife Grace, and Grace ends up saying to him, "Honey, quit being such a martyr." And he has this like rant moment where here's what he says. He says, "I'm not being a martyr. I'm the victim. God is a mean kid over an anthill with a magnifying glass, and I'm the ant." You can see Jim Carrey doing this, right? He says, "He could fix my life in 5 minutes if he wanted to, but he'd rather burn off my feelers and watch me squirm." You know how he says it. And maybe you felt like that before, like God has caused this thing to happen in my life, or he's allowed it at least. And then the reality is that that's not God's character in the scripture. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. That God is good, and he loves us, and he has plans for our lives. And so that's not God's character. Here's the second false assumption we tend to make when bad things happen, and we make it about God. False assumption number two is this: God didn't show up or come through. This bad thing happened to me, and that means God didn't show up and God didn't come through. Maybe he's present somewhere out there, but he didn't show up for me, and he didn't come through. And maybe you've thought that. In John chapter 11, there's a scene where basically Jesus arrived on the scene a little bit too late. Seemed like Jesus, maybe you thought as you've been praying to God for something, sometimes it feels like, man, you're a little late and a dollar too short, you know, and you're praying, God, where were you? This is what happens in John 11. It seems like Jesus is late. And one of Jesus' friends, Lazarus, becomes really sick. And Lazarus is, he's getting sick, and Jesus heard about it. He didn't go immediately to him, but by the time Jesus finally did get there, Lazarus had died. He passed away. And it's this interesting scene where Jesus shows up, he hears the news, and Martha has another raw moment with Jesus. And here's what she says, John 11. She says, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had only been here, if you had only showed up in time, Jesus, if you had only been able to come through, or if you had chosen to come through, things would have been different." And so I think it's interesting because in this story, as you read on in John chapter 11, we think, oh, this is bad, he died. But what we don't see is the very next thing that's going to happen, is Jesus allowed that to happen knowing that he was actually going to raise Lazarus from the dead, which he did. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus, who was dead, walks out of a tomb. He got out of that grave, and he takes off the grave clothes, and he walks away free. And it's a picture of what God does in our lives for those who are in Jesus. But it's also one of those things where Jesus could have healed him. He had healed and healed and healed and healed, but Jesus had a plan and a purpose. He wanted to show everybody, even Lazarus, that he is Lord even over death, that he is the resurrection and the life. And how in the world would they know it unless he did it and showed that within their very own life? And so I think in order to understand, so that's the two assumptions. I think the other thing we need to understand is that the story. In order to understand why bad things happen, we need to understand the story of God and how it fits in it. And we've got to go all the way back to the beginning of time. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. It tells us that God created the world and everything in it. And when God created the world, he created, you know, the butterflies and the plants and the lions. He created us in his own image. And each and every day, God says, it's good, it's good, it's good. God made everything, everything to be completely good. It was perfect. In fact, in the beginning, we had a couple things. We had perfect relationships in the very beginning. And this is one of those things where we had this perfect relationship with God. In fact, it tells in Genesis that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. It was almost like Adam was able to walk with God, almost like just like a best friend walking down the street. And so when we talk about walking with God today, it's more figurative, but Adam literally got to do that. He walked with God, and he talked with him, and God would speak, and he would talk back. It was this connection. There was no brokenness in the relationship. There was also, we also had perfect relationships with others. There was no strife or turmoil in relationships. There was no disagreements or, trying to cheat somebody to get ahead. Everybody just got along and they loved each other completely. And at the same time, we had perfect relationships with ourselves. We were whole. We were the people God made us to be. And so not only did we have perfect relationships, but we also had this. We lived in a perfect place. We lived in a perfect place in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden, it was a place where there was no pain. There was no suffering. There was no death. Can you just imagine that? Like, nobody had ever seen any disappointment. Nobody had ever seen suffering or pain. It didn't exist. In fact, it was literally heaven on earth in the very beginning. This is God's good plan. And the reason that all of us, when something bad happens in the world, the reason why we know this is not the way it's supposed to be, God would say, you're right. You're right. I made you to be in this place where there was no pain and suffering and turmoil, and I made you to have perfect relationships. In fact, this is what we're made for, the world. But the thing is, by the way, did you know that if you want to know what heaven is like, one of the best pictures of heaven is, yes, you can read Revelation 21 and 22, but heaven, a good picture of heaven is actually to look all the way back to Genesis. Because in heaven, it's really about God bringing us back to those things, to having perfect relationships again with God, with one another, where we completely love each other fully, and where we are whole. And if you read Revelation 21, you read this amazing, amazing thing about heaven is also about God bringing us back to a perfect place that God has designed for us, where there will be no more suffering, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. Death will be no more. This is God's plan for us. But God gave all of that to us in the beginning, and the story goes, we blew it. In Genesis chapter 3, not only Adam and Eve, but every single day of our life, we took our freedom that was given by God, and we misused our freedom. God gave us freedom so that we wouldn't be puppets, you know. He gave us freedom so that we could choose whether to love him and follow him, but there's also a chance we could take that freedom and misuse it and choose to run away from God and his good plan, and that's what we've done. That's what we've done ever since Genesis chapter 3. And so the thing is, at the moment when we walked away from God, sin entered the world, brokenness entered the world, and we now have broken relationships with God. Broken relationships with one another, and we find that we are broken and in need of being restored. And at that moment, not only us, but the entire world was turned upside down, off its axis. And so death and pain and suffering entered a world that was never made for it. And so ever since then, God has been on a mission, even today. He's on a mission, a rescue mission, to save us. And to restore the entire world back to its original intent, but even better, In fact, Jesus went to the cross. That's why he did that. He went to the cross and he rose from the grave so that to make a way for us to know God again. And through that relationship with God to enable us to love one another in a way that we can't do in our fallen nature. And also an opportunity, give us an opportunity for us to be made whole again. But on this side of heaven, we live in a world that's broken, that's fallen, that's in need of being restored. And there's fragments of God's good creation. We see it all around where there's good things and then there's bad things. But it's almost like that good creation is shattered like a mirror, fragments laying on the ground that's been shattered with the glass pieces where you can pick up the good and but yet you still realize it's still broken. This is the world we're living in now. But Jesus promises that when he returns, he will restore everything and he will make all things new. But here's the thing. This is the story. This kind of shares about this is God's part. And so to understand this question, why do bad things happen today? There's actually four things at least that are at play at the same time. Why do bad things happen? And we're never going to know, was it this because of this or was it because of this until we get to heaven? But let me give you a few things that are at play at the same time so we understand that there's a lot at work. Here's the first thing we need to know about the world and that there's things that are happening. Number one is this. We need to know that God is working. God is working even now to redeem the world. God is on a mission. God is at work in the world. And the truth is God is so good and he loves us and so he's on the move. He's on the move working in people's lives, working in our world, and he's wanting to turn everything that was turned upside down right side up. He's wanting to restore our world and to restore us ultimately through a relationship with him. And just because we can't see that God is working in the chaos that's around us doesn't mean that God isn't there, and it doesn't mean that God isn't working. And so I want you to know that your perfectly loving Heavenly Father is always at work. He's never resting. He's always at work, working under the surface of your story, under the surface of your situation, even the bad stuff he's working in order to bring about your good and your redemption and to further his glory. He is so good and he's working. The other part of God working that I found is sometimes God will actually put something in our path that we assume it's bad. Why did this bad thing happen? Like a closed door that happens in our life. Or we prayed and it's an unanswered prayer. Sometimes that's God actually answering a prayer in a different way. And it looks like this is a bad thing, but in reality, sometimes it's God actually working for our good. Here's why. Let me give you an example. Sometimes God puts something in our path to protect us from something that we didn't even see coming. I remember one time we were driving down the street, down the road, and we were hustling to get to, you know, some event or whatever that we were going to. And just at the right time or at the wrong time, a train comes by, and it's one of those like 10-minute trains. And we were running late, and we knew like, we gotta be here. But here we go, we're sitting behind a stupid train, you know, for 10 minutes watching it go by. And I had one of those moments, why? Why are you doing this, right? And who knows what was ahead on the road? Who knows what was in front of us? I don't know. But I think it's very possible that God might have been protecting us from something that we didn't even see, that we thought was a complete curse, but God was actually using it to protect us. At the same time, sometimes God causes a delay to something we've been praying for in order to strengthen us, because maybe if God gave it to us now, we wouldn't be the people we need to be in order to be there yet, or in order to really take hold of that opportunity. So sometimes God strengthens and grows us. And at the same time, God sometimes allows things in our path to grow our faith and to demonstrate who he is and his glory in our life. So that's the first thing, God's working. Here's number two that's happening all at the same time. Number two is this. People have free will, and we are still fallen. Good news, right? People have free will, and we are still fallen. Basically, sometimes bad things happen in the world because people, we, make boneheaded decisions sometimes. In fact, people still abuse our God-given freedom. We still choose to do evil things sometimes, or sometimes just we miss the mark. We mess up, not even meaning to. And so sometimes what I found is we encounter bad things. Bad things happen because we make a, you know, sometimes a dumb decision. Let me give you an example. When Mandy and I got married, we moved to Kentucky. Mandy's family was down here. And around that season, that's when Mandy's mother was diagnosed with cancer. And it was a really, really tough time for the whole family. You know, everybody kind of shoulders that together. And, you know, we're praying, but you feel like you can't do enough, right? You want to fix stuff, right? But it was one of those things where we'd been talking about it so much, and cancer and cancer and cancer and cancer. And so when I got to her, you know, what I wanted to say was just, I'm so sorry, and, you know, be there for her. But what came out was something very different. I got to her, and I was thinking, you know, cancer, 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 don't say that. And then I got there, and I said, hey, Mrs. Cancer. And I was like, oh, that's not good. Thankfully, with grace. And but here's the thing, it's just a reminder that sometimes we mean well, but we put our foot in our mouth. Sometimes we mean well, but we still fall short of the glory of God, amen? So sometimes we do things, sometimes people in our lives around us make fallen decisions. We're fallen. And God doesn't take away our free will in order to free us from that, but God offers every broken person, people like you and people like me, an opportunity to be made whole through Jesus. God is working. Here's number three, the thing that's at work all at the same time. Number three is this. We have a spiritual enemy who is real. We have a spiritual enemy who is real. Here's what it says in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says this. He says, the thief, talking about the enemy, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, somebody once told me that if you don't believe in Satan or the devil or the powers of darkness, whatever you want to say, just go plant a church. You'll believe in that real quickly. And there was one Easter where, man, we had this awesome service. We had been praying up as a team. We just knew, like, God was going to do something. People had been inviting their friends, and there was people that who said that, hey, my friend is coming, and they've never been to church before. Or my friend is coming, and, you know, it's all these awesome opportunities. And the band had played so well in rehearsal, and all of a sudden we got there, and we turned on everything the day of, and it was almost like there were demons in our chords. Like, nothing worked. The soundboard wouldn't turn on. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong before the service got going. And it was one of those things where I kind of grabbed our team during our huddle time, and I said, look, we do have a spiritual enemy. We don't want to give him too much credit, but the reality is, I believe that God's about to do something big today. Because if we weren't doing something that was significant for the kingdom of God, where God was going to be impacting people's lives, our enemy wouldn't even care. But here we are, we're encountering this, and we just need to pray up, and we need to get excited, because God is about to show up, and God's about to come through, and it was an amazing, amazing thing. But here's the thing, however you want to call it, the devil or Satan or the powers of darkness, we have a spiritual enemy. And the truth is, he doesn't have a lot of power, but he tries to make you think that he does. Or he tries to make you think that he doesn't exist, that it's just you and God. And so Satan's role in the scripture, he's a great liar. He's a deceiver. He does a great job of trying to take the truth and then twist it to make you feel really bad about yourself, to make you feel really unworthy. So for instance, there'll be times when maybe it'll be like the worst possible thing that you've ever done in your life. There'll be something like this, kind of thing that he'll put on your head is like, look at you getting ready for church. Who are you to think you can go to church after you've done that in your life? This is how kind of Satan works. He's a liar, a deceiver, and he puts stuff on our conscience and in our head, and he lets our free will go crazy. Doesn't have any real power. It's not like there's the little angel that's good and the little devil that's bad on our shoulder. That's not accurate. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But that's still a part of it, that God is at work, fallen nature, we're fallen, and we have a spiritual enemy. Here's the last thing, number four. We have to know that all of creation is fallen. All of creation is fallen. Romans chapter 8 tells us that creation is fallen and it's groaning to be restored. And so sometimes things just happen because we live in a broken world. Hurricanes and tornadoes and all this stuff. Sometimes things just happen. It wasn't God that caused it. It wasn't somebody sinned. It wasn't that, it wasn't like the enemy trying to do stuff all the time. Sometimes we live in a world where that's off its axis. And it's evidence that God is still at work, but it's evidence that we live in a fallen world that's groaning to be restored. You know, Jesus was never surprised that we would encounter bad things. In fact, here's what he says in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Thanks, Jesus. You know, I wanted a different promise than that. Like, in this world, you will have everything work out your way, right? But he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so I think it's really interesting. Jesus never promised to wrap us up in bubble wrap and to make sure that we never encounter any chaos or any turmoil in our life, but he promises to be with us no matter what. He promises us to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, and he promises that he's the God who can stand in the middle of our trouble, and he's always working under the surface of our story. And so we can take heart. We don't have to fear because we know how the story ends. We know that he has defeated sin and death. We know that he's defeated evil. We know that we ultimately, anyone who is in Jesus is going to be led to a place where there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, no more crying, death will be no more. And so let me close like this. Psalm 13, David's complaining to God and he's ranting to God that God, why? God, how? How long do I have to wait? Here's how David finishes this up because I think it's helpful for us. Verse 5 says this. So he's saying, how long, how long, how long? And then he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And so I think this is interesting because David, in the middle of everything he's encountering, everything around me says, this is not good, this is not working. He says, but I trust. I trust. I trust, God, that you are good. I trust that you still love me, and I trust that your salvation power is still working in my life. And I think this is how God wants us to live, to be the kind of people who's not worried about everything, but can say in the face of everything we face that, God, I know you're good, I know you love me, and I know your power is at work in my life. And I can trust that, God, you have plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me hope and a future. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this word, and we thank you so much that you are always at work. No matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, I just pray that you would remind us of your presence. You would remind us of your power. You would remind us of your love that's right there with us. And God, I thank you that you don't just leave us into the world to fend for ourselves, but you promise to be with us no matter what, and you promise to fight for us. And so, God, I just thank you so much that you are always at work. You're working to redeem all this. You're working to restore the whole world. But God, until then, I just pray that you would help us. For many of us who are going through difficult things, I pray that you would give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that ultimately, God, you're the one that brings the victory. You're the one who defeats everything that's sinful and evil and even death. And we give you thanks for that. And so, God, as we lean into you today, as we prepare to sing our last song, I just pray that you would remind us that you are sovereign over everything that we face. And we ask this in your name. Amen.